Ms. Autry's here. She worked for probably 45. I really don't know how many years, but a good number of those years. And she helped us, and I do appreciate that. And for those of you that came and endured my teaching, God bless your heart, okay? Let's go to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 16. I tell people I'm semi-retiring. I want to retire from the school and give that to somebody else, but I still enjoy pastoring the church, and I hope as God gives me strength to be able to do that. There's nothing I enjoy doing more than I enjoy preaching, so we're going to try to do that a little bit tonight, okay? Verse 8, 1 Kings chapter 16, in the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Elah the son of Baasha to reign over Israel in Tirzah 2 years. And his servant Zimri, captain of half his chariots, conspired against him as he was in Tirzah drinking himself drunk in the house of Arzah, steward of his house in Tirzah. And Zimri went in and smote him and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his stead. Now, when you read your Bible, to me, it's amazing what God tells us. There's great information. I mean, there's well-known people in the Bible. We're about to get to Elijah. In chapter 17, we meet Elijah, one of the great prophets of the Old Testament, and one of the most, to me, exciting characters in the Word of God. And there's a lot of big characters, well-known characters. But tonight, I want to preach to you. I've heard the statement years ago, two's company, three's a crowd. Y'all heard that? And so tonight, we're going to look at a crowd of three. All right? They're linked together here in our passage of Scripture. But when it came to life, they were the clueless, characterless crowd. And that's one we're going to preach to you about. Three fellows: Elah, Zimri, and Arzah. Three Bible characters that most have never heard of. If I had have asked you before we read the scripture tonight, what do you know about Zimri? I'm sure a multitude of hands would have stayed in your lap because they don't know anything about him. Elah and also Arzah. You're not going to find their name on everyone's lips. They're just not there. They had no fame attached to them whatsoever, all right? They left no legacy in life. They were just there, all right? But God saw fit to include their names in the Bible. And he saw fit to tell us about them. A drunk, a traitor, and a sorry steward. You say, well, why do we bring them up? Hey, though they were not upstanding individuals, we can learn from them. We can learn from them what not to do. We can learn from them what not to be. Okay? They're there. They were definitely part of the no character crowd. We live in a day where the world doesn't think much of character. We elect presidents without considering their character whatsoever. We elect other politicians, and if things come out about their character, it's kind of a yawn, and so what? Big deal. But hey, we ought to be concerned about this character. You definitely ought to be concerned about your own character, all right? Like I say, the world doesn't place much value on it, but each of these three had at least one character flaw about them that doomed them. And we want to take a look at them tonight, all right? First of all, Elah was a drunk. Notice what it says about him in verse 9. It says he was drinking himself drunk. Drinking himself drunk. Now, the Bible says he went to that house on purpose. There was a purpose for why he went. The purpose was to get drunk. Booze is and has been a curse on man since the days of Noah. And I realize, boy, that you know when a preacher today stands up and preaches against alcoholic beverage, a lot of people go, well, here we go again. But did ever consider the fact we're trying to save your life? Ever consider the fact we're trying to save you a lot of pain and suffering and heartache? And that's what's going on. You see, the Bible has a lot to say about booze, okay? It plainly comes out against it. I've heard people say, I remember I had a college professor. And usually you think a college professor ought to have a little bit of sense. But I'll never forget a college professor when I was going out to Tarrant County College made the statement in the class. He said, I don't see anything in the Bible that I like against drinking. And I said, I thought you must be real selective about the parts you like. Because the Bible has a great deal to say. We're going to look at it a little bit, all right? Look, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 20. As I said, I don't believe God gives us what we have in the Bible just to fill space, all right? And we ought to learn from it. Proverbs chapter 20, if you will. Right there in that chapter in verse 1, the Bible makes a statement that's hard to misinterpret. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Well, that's a pretty plain statement. You don't have any trouble understanding that old English, all right? It's not old English, but we don't have any trouble understanding, all right? The Bible said the man that's deceived by booze is not wise. To be honest with you, as a matter of fact, he tends to make fools of people. Boy, I've seen people under the influence of booze do things they would never have done had they not been drunk. Had they not been under the influence. I'll never forget, years ago, we were lived in Vidalia, Georgia. I was a kid. I was in the back seat. We were driving down the highway, or we're driving down a city street, not the highway. We turned a corner, and in the headlights came this figure. And from the back of him, he's staggering around. It's obvious he had troubles. And you could tell that he had wet all over himself. Why? He was drunk. My brother was nearly killed in a car wreck because the fella had been drinking that hit him. All right, drinking. I've been in homes where homes broken because of the drinking of one of the people in that home. Hey, it does great damage. It makes fools out of people. It puts them that way. Look just a little further over, chapter 23, if you will. Chapter 23, and look down to verse 29. What a description. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? And the Bible answers its question. They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Then the Bible says, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Listen, the truth of those words is beyond belief. The Bible warns us about things. I have worked with young people for a ton of years. I've stood at the bedside of one of those young people. When I walked into the hospital room, there was two people in that room, and at first I wasn't sure who the one was I was looking for. But I went back to the back bed, and there was a young fellow there, maybe 20 years old, and he had a metal halo around his head. And that halo was screwed to his head. There were screws going to that metal band, going through that metal band, screwed to his head to keep his head from moving. And there lay a guy that had been in our youth department. There lay a fellow that had been to youth camp with us in Colorado. There lay a fellow, though, who would never walk again. There lay a fellow who could never do the things he had done before. His hands were no longer usable as you use yours. They lay on his chest like this. He could move his arms a little, but that was it. He had been injured in a car wreck out with some of his buddies, and they had been drinking. Went off the road, hit a culvert, went airborne, hit a tree. He was in the back seat, came over the front seat, and the back of his head hit the point of the top of the car where it met the windshield, and it snapped his vertebrae in his back. And he was now quadriplegic. I remember visiting with him, talking to him, going back to see him. He was there for a long time in Dallas. And he went through some help getting him some training. And they strapped a fork and a spoon to his hand and tried to teach him how to maneuver to eat that way, because he couldn't reach out and grab anything anymore. You say, "Preacher, you're trying to scare me." I would if I could. I would if I could. I tell you, it was tough to see a guy that was so full of life now to spend the rest of his life as a quadriplegic in a wheelchair. Didn't have to happen. Didn't have to happen. Why? Booze. I wish that was the only story, but I could tell you too, there was another fellow the same way. Same thing happened to him. Same thing, became a quadriplegic. Guy that was in this church. Guy that used to ride my bus. Hey, sad day. It's a sad day. Hey, you know what? The Bible warns us we're to stay away from that. Notice what it says. It says, "Look not thou upon the wine." The Bible said, don't even look at it. Well, preacher, I just don't think there's anything wrong with a little drink. I can remember my dad standing in this pulpit saying, if it takes you 10 drinks to get drunk and you take one, then you're 1/10 drunk. You can like it or lump it, but that's true. Hey, I want you to see this. That was Elah. His character flaw was he was a drunk. But look what it did to him. Go back there to 1 Kings chapter 16, all right? Drinking himself drunk. While he was drunk, Zimri comes in and kills him. Why? Hey, because his character flaw made it easy for him to be conquered and slain. Made it easy. I just want to tell you, it'll do the same thing for you. It makes it easy for you to be conquered. The devil has used booze to conquer and destroy multiplied millions of people. Millions of people. And I've seen it happen. I've seen it destroy homes. Seen it destroy homes. Hey, I'm telling you, the Bible warns against it. Elah is proof that it makes you vulnerable. You need to be aware of that. There's Elah, the drunk. But now I want you to focus on Zimri. Zimri was a traitor. He was a traitor. Do you see what the Bible tells us about him? He was the servant of Elah. He was the captain, the Bible says, of half of his chariots. Look, you don't get that position in that day because of a raffle. You didn't win the raffle, okay? You got that position because you were trusted. Man, Elah trusted Zimri. He gave him a position. He gave him a position of power. He gave him a position of responsibility. He promoted him, all right? So here is this one who's been promoted and been given that responsibility, that position, and he turns on his king. He turns on his king. He murdered him. You go on to read, he murdered all of his family to eliminate any possible rivals. And then a moment of great humility, he replaced that king with himself. Said, "I'll move in. I'll take that position." He was a man that thought the way to get ahead wasn't work, wasn't be faithful. It wasn't let the Lord reward you. No, it was find somebody you could step on. Find somebody you could take advantage of. And in this case, he took the life of that other individual. What a thing to do. What a position. What a destination to have for your life. Hey, I'm just going to make my way, and I don't care what I do to anybody else as long as I benefit, as long as it promotes me. And that's what he did. He took himself there, all right? Man, the amazing thing is, though, when you read down a little farther here in this passage of Scripture, you know how long his reign lasted? He promoted himself to king. He lasted 7 days. 7 days. Do you think he thought it was worth it? Do you think he thought, yeah, it was worth all of that? And just to be king for 7 days. Hey, look, if you will, in verse 11. And it came to pass when he began to reign. Hey, he slew his fellow man, all right? And it destroyed them, all right? Destroyed them. But I want you to go down just a little bit further. Go to verse 21. Then were the people of Israel divided into two parts. Half of the people followed Tibni, the son of Ginath, to make him king. Half followed Omri. Hey, this was after what happened to Zimri. Hey, this fellow Omri come up and opposed him. And the Bible says in verse 17, Omri went up from Gibbethon, and all Israel with him, and they besieged Tirzah. And it came to pass when Zimri saw that the city was taken. Here he is now, he's the king. Now what do you expect a king to do? Well, you expect a king to lead. You expect a king to have some courage. I don't tell you, I'll remind you, he was a traitor. Traitors are not known for courage. And the truth of the matter is, he was a coward. And so when he saw that in verse 18, he went into the palace of the king's house and burnt the king's house over him with fire and died. There's a man you want to follow. There's a man to set your life after. I want to point out to you, the wicked are not rewarded with a long reign and great success. You need to remember that. The wicked are not rewarded. Doesn't happen that way. So there's the drunk. There's the traitor. But I want you to look at the third one. You said, man, he's not such a bad guy now, preacher. All the Bible says about him was that he... Ezra was steward of his house. And that was where Elah came to get drunk. He was there. He said, man, he wasn't a bad guy. Wait a minute. He's a steward. Now, I will remind you, in the Bible, a steward is one who has been given something that belongs to another and entrusted to take care of that. In the New Testament, the Bible said we're stewards of the good things of God. We're stewards. God's entrusted those with us. Well, he was a steward. He was a steward for the king. And here's this guy that's his job is to take care of what's given to him, to watch over it, to protect it. Well, can I ask you this? What's more important than the master himself? Look. If somebody's taking care of your stuff, wouldn't you halfway hope they might kind of take care of you too if necessary? Well, that was Elah. His stuff was in the hands of Arza. He said, well, how did Arza handle it? Here's how he did. He didn't do anything to stop the king from drinking himself drunk. The truth of the matter is he facilitated it. He provided the place for him to drink. Undoubtedly, the king thought, hey, this is a comfortable place. I'll go there and I can just drink myself drunk in his house. I'll just go there and it'll be all right. He felt comfortable. Hey, can I say this to you? That's not your job as a steward. Your job as a steward is to step up. Arza was a sorry steward. When he could have stepped up and done something, he didn't do it. Hey, look, you don't have to go along with the sin of others. You don't have to do it. I don't know how you feel about it, but I feel this way. Not in my house. Not in my house. Not in my place. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. I remember my dad saying, as long as you put your feet under my table, as long as you put your feet under my table, there's some things you're going to do. And there's some things you're not going to do. And we didn't have a hard time with that. We understood that. That wasn't a problem. That's not a bad thing. Look, if you choose to take dope, you choose to drink, you choose to do whatever, you may be welcome at my home, but you're not welcome to do that there. You're not going to do it there. Not going to happen, all right? It's just not going to happen. For months, where we live now, there was a fella who parked his car and lived in his car in front of our house for months. And I went out and met him and talked to him. And he said, when? Very early on. I went out and talked to him. Hey, I wanted to know who was there. I wanted to know what he was doing. And he wasn't a drunk. He told me, he said, there's a friend of mine. We're going to buy a house together. And that is our plan. And he said, we're saving our money up. He said, I could not save up money living in an apartment, paying the apartment rent. I couldn't save up money to make a down payment on a house. He told me where he worked, the job he had, and the times that he was absent, the time that he was there, corresponded with when he would be working those hours. And he was there for months and months. I talked to him. My son talked to him. We carried him Thanksgiving lunch one day. I think it was Thanksgiving dinner. And carried it out to him and said, enjoy yourself, all right? But I'll tell you this. If he'd have been shooting up dope or drinking out there, I would have called the cops on him. I don't have a problem with a guy's trying to better himself. Don't have a problem with that. Hey, but I'm not going to facilitate it. Now, here's three people, a drunk, a traitor, and a sorry steward. He said, preacher, what's there for us? Here we are, okay? Those three have a lot of descendants in our day. Those three have a lot of descendants in our day. The question is, are you one of them? Are you one of them? Now, I'm not here to chew you out. I'm here to help you. When it comes to the drunk, I just want to ask you this. Do you allow something to rule your life? I don't care what it is. Eli allowed booze to do it for him. I don't think this was the only time that ever happened. You said, why? Because Zimri knew where to find him drunk. He knew this thing had happened. This was habitual. This is something that happened regularly. So Zimri knew if he goes there, I'll wait here for a little while and won't be long. He'll be staggering drunk. It won't be a problem to go in and kill him. Won't be a problem to take care of him. So I ask you tonight, is there something that controls you? For some people, it's alcohol. For some, it's drugs. For some, it may be pornography. It could be gambling. Could be a lot of things, all right? Could be a lot of things. All I'm saying to you is you don't need to give yourself over to anything that allow you to be conquered and then cast aside. Don't give yourself into that. You have to step up and resist it. You say, well, I can't do it. Hey, Brother Chester's testimony that you can do it. You can do it. You don't have to let those things that have controlled you keep kicking you around. You don't have to let those kind of things keep you from being what you should. And it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't have to be something I've named. But you need to watch it. Hey, I'm not bragging on myself. I just use this as an example. You're looking at a fat boy that loves fattening food. You're looking at a guy, man, I love peanut M&Ms. I love a Snicker. I love a blueberry donut. I love any kind of donuts coated in chocolate, all right, man? You can pretty much cover anything with chocolate, and I'm in on it, all right? I love those things. But man, when that doctor told me, here's the problem and here's what's going on with you, I've sworn off of those things. Now I've decided, you know what? I don't want to kill myself. I don't want to wind up, I don't want to wind up blind because of diabetes. Don't want that to happen. Don't want that to happen. If you're here, you get under the influence of booze, I don't want to come visit you in the hospital and see you laying there and knowing you're going to come out and never walk again. You'll be in a wheelchair the rest of your life. I don't want that to happen to you. Say, preacher, it won't happen to me. You can't guarantee that. You're running a big chance. Now, I tell you what, as a guy that enjoys eating, I don't want to have to depend on somebody else to feed me. I don't want to lose control of these because I take something in that controls me and then gives me to where I can be conquered. Hey, I'm just saying to you, if that's you, would you think, would you consider, would you look at your life? Now, you may not be a traitor like Zimri. You may not be a murderer the way he is. But I ask you this, do you take advantage of others to work your way to the top? Do you say it's okay to step on somebody else? It's okay to find the weakness in somebody else and feed that weakness so I can then take their place? And I tell you what, that's not the kind of person I want to be. I hope that's not the kind of person you want to be. But that was Zimri. And here's Arza. He wasn't a drunk. He wasn't a traitor. But you know what he was? He was a facilitator. He was a facilitator. He made it easy for others to do wrong. He made it easy for others to do wrong. He gave them the place to do it. So he provided the place. He protected them while they were there. Maybe that's you. Maybe you make excuses for folks that are doing wrong. You make excuses for them. You're a facilitator. What good are you doing to that individual? That individual needs your help. They don't need you to make it easy for them to participate in their sin. They don't need you to make it easy for them to bring destruction and ruin upon themselves. They don't need that. They need somebody that'll step up and say, hey, you're headed wrong. And you know, I'm not going to beat you over the head with it, but hey, I'm not going to make it easy for you. I'm not going to give you the wherewithal to do it. I'm not going to provide that place. I'm not going to allow that because I love you enough to stand against it. See, that's the problem. Well, a lot of people claim to love folks, but man, they facilitate. They're doing wrong. 50 years in the school, I want to tell you, in 50 years, kids have changed. Kids have changed. People changed. 50 years ago when we had our school, and through those years, in those early, probably 15 to 20 years or so, we may have had this many kids that ran their house. That many that ran their house. Now, we got at least three times that many that run their house. The kids run the home. Hey, parents, don't let your children run their house. Don't spoil your kids. Don't facilitate them doing wrong. The thing you do, you know, I hear grandparents talk about, man, yeah, I love my grandkids. I can spoil them and then send them home. I've never wanted to do that. I've had to deal with too many spoiled kids. Spoiled kids are unpleasant to deal with. They're not happy. And they see to it that nobody around them is happy either. Nobody's happy. Hey, why would we facilitate that kind of thing? We were last night in a store, I'll not tell you which one, and man, all of a sudden I hear this kid bellering, all right? And I said to somebody who works in the store, I said, well, somebody ain't happy. You know, I thought, hey, nowadays parents are afraid, though, to correct their children. But you know what? You don't have to be around them too long before you realize they never correct them anywhere anyway. And if they want to throw a fit, they throw a fit. I can't even imagine that. I used to say my dad, you know, I could not have imagined him saying, now, Junior, calm down. But I just want to say, as a dad, I cannot imagine myself saying, now, Junior, calm down. Didn't do it. Hey, we facilitate people doing wrong. We encourage it. We allow it. The truth is we feed it. Look, three people, the drunk, the traitor, the one who took advantage of others, and the facilitator. Are you anywhere in those three? Are you anywhere in those three? Listen, I believe God put them in the Bible for us to learn not to do what they did. I just believe God put them in there so we'd learn, don't do what they did. Do you think Zimri was happy for 7 days as king? I don't think he was. I believe he plotted more than 7 days to get rid of the king. He plotted for more than 7 days to get rid of Elah. And then he only served as king 7 days and winds up burning himself to death. I wonder about Arza. We don't know what happened to Arza. We know that Elah died. We know that Zimri died. Now we know Arza died because he's not still alive. All right? We know he died. We don't know how he died. But I can't conceive of him going through life saying, well, I'm proud of the way I lived my life. I was a servant and steward for the king. And I was there. He was in my house when that sorry rascal came in and killed him. I didn't protect him. Hey, there's nothing about any of these three to brag on. Could I just say tonight, would you stop a moment? Would you examine yourself? Be honest and take action. Don't start making excuses. Don't start making excuses. Ever drunk, ever pornography addict, every dope addict makes excuses. Everyone. Well, they all make excuses. Every gambler that is addicted and can't stay away from the card table, the slot machine, or the roulette wheel, or the whatever. I don't know what all's in the casino. I've never been in a casino. Couldn't tell you. But everyone. There's something about it that's got a hold on them. Hey, would you examine yourself? Are you one like that? Are you one that you're plotting to make your way by stepping on somebody else? Are you one that's facilitating one going wrong? Are you doing that? Is that really what you want to be your legacy? I said these three had no legacy. Truthfully, that is their legacy. Elah was a drunk. Zimri was a traitor. And Arza, was a sorry steward. I don't want you to be known that way. I don't want to be known that way. Well, you can do something about it tonight. Would you stand, please, with head bowed and eyes closed? Listen, the Word of God gives us some accounts and lets us know about people so we can learn. We can learn. But it's up to you to learn. It's up to you to make a change. That's in your lap. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Lord, help us to take a look at these three in the Word of God and then take an honest look at ourselves. And Lord, if there's anything about us that resembles one of those or more, Lord, would you bring conviction? Would you help us to see we don't need to finish life the way they did? We don't need to complete it like that. We can live different. And Lord, would you help us to do that? Help us to take steps in that direction tonight. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing the invitation tonight. God's dealing with you. Would you come?